Governor Ned Lamont, welcome back to Melissa in the Morning. I am so glad to have you here. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Melissa. Nice to have that campaign over. We're back to business.
You know, so Governor Lamont, I honestly couldn't think of a better person to have on this morning. First of all, can I tell you, I was thinking about you on about 3 o'clock in the morning when I came here on post-election day. So, my gosh, I can't even keep track of my day. So Wednesday morning. And as you know, I used to live in Vermont. I was there on and off for 10 years. And I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you did, but your buddy Phil Scott, he was reelected as the Republican governor in Vermont. And he just can't stop, won't stop. And I thought about you. I was like, you know, it's people like Phil Scott in Vermont and Ned Lamont here in Connecticut who I think are the voices we need to hear from after this election, which is that local and state politics matter and unity matters. So I did want to tell you, I thought about you at 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't be weirded out by that. But I just wanted to tell you, I wanted to let you know.
Well, thanks for listening. I'll tell Phil Scott you were thinking about him at 3 a.m.
Yeah, he's the best. Oh, no, he knows. He's great. He's awesome. When he first ran, I was a reporter and an anchor at CBS up there. And I don't know if he'll remember me, but we used to work together way back in the day anyways. But, the reason I thought you would be a great, you know, voice piece for Connecticut right now, Governor Lamont, is I think regardless of whichever political affiliation people belong to or if you are an unaffiliated voter, I think there is, you know, and we get this. There's always going to be that message of after the election, whoever wins, you know, celebration, whoever loses, you sort of go back to the drawing board and say what happened here. But I'd rather get away from all of that and look at Connecticut. I want to focus on Connecticut and building unity. And we just had the Secretary of the State on saying that we almost have kind of a purple state here in Connecticut. While we do typically run blue, we have a lot of unaffiliated voters. We have a lot of people who want to go with what makes sense policy versus what the national parties look like. And I didn't know if you could speak to that this morning.
I think Secretary of State is right. We are a little more purple, certainly than we were, pre-election when we were more of a blue state. I think that we work together in the Capitol a little more on a bipartisan basis than you see in probably 49 other states. Maybe Vermont, they work together pretty well as well. I will tell you, Melissa, I got my start as a reporter in Vermont as well, covering the governor up there back in 1978.
Why have we never talked about this? Wait,
we have that in common.
Okay, Governor Lamont, I'm a little disappointed in you.
I used to go to Rutland, Vermont, and cover these guys.
You and I have been talking for however long. I mean, my gosh, for your whole administration. How have we never talked about that before? I'm a little disappointed in our friendship. I thought we were closer than that. Okay. All right. Well, that's really cool. I didn't know that. That's very neat. Sorry. So continue. So, yeah. So we do a lot better here in Connecticut than maybe we do on the national scale with bipartisan reaching across aisles.
Look, I think that's right. I think that the Bush Republicans were maybe shunted aside a little bit, and the Trump Republicans are a little more preeminent today than they were 6 months ago. So that will change the dynamic in the legislature a bit. But we all know each other. That's a big plus. And I've been doing this for 6 years now. And that's very helpful to have those relationships. You can stereotype everybody on the campaign trail, but then the door is shut and you work together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was actually something I was going to ask you about, Governor Lamont, because I've pointed this out to our listeners a lot, because I do think sometimes one of the most frustrating parts as a journalist in today's world, which is why I've always debated even getting out of this realm altogether, is because of the way I think media has gone in the last decade, really. The amount of opinionated coverage over fact coverage, the influx of news that people get from social media, for example, it makes it very, very challenging, I think, for the local news and I think for even the facts to get to the average person. And so I again wanted to really address that. Do you agree, our Connecticut Republicans, and I would even say our Connecticut Democrats, are not the same as what the national picture may be? So, for example, I do know, you know, here in Connecticut, for people who I've interacted with who are Republicans and think, oh, sure, the majority, they're just going to ignore. And I think, no, we've seen collaboration happen here. We don't have these insanely far left Democrats at the state level. The majority of them are not that way. But the same, I think, goes for our Republicans. I find that most of our Republican senators and state reps, for example, are pro-choice. They're not these abortion ban, you know, to me, crazy right-sided Republicans. And so I just didn't know if you can even comment on that as well, that it tells a different story. And I want to make sure Connecticut residents understand that, who our legislators are.
I think you're exactly right, Melissa. Look, we're a pretty moderate state. You've got a pretty moderate Democratic governor. You know, we cut taxes and fighting every day for the middle class. I think Democrats certainly appreciate what we're trying to do. And Republicans were at the table. I mean, we had almost a unanimous vote for our budget a couple of years ago because we're able to bring down costs for people, let them keep more of their take-home pay, and yet make some big investments in things like daycare and childcare that help people get back to work. We seem to found a sweet spot where people can find some agreement. That said, it's going to be a tough legislative cycle coming up because there's less of that federal money and Medicaid's getting very expensive. So we're going to have to make some choices, which always makes for a tough session.
We have Governor Ned Lamont, who is joining us, and we were just talking about sort of reaching a middle ground, but also getting the story right when it comes to Connecticut politics versus what's happening on the national scale of things. And Governor Lamont, I do want to address this because, to be totally transparent with you, it kind of bothered me a little bit. And I understand that campaigning is campaigning. You are not in charge of where the dollars go and how they are invested. And I know you are not at the hands of how these advertisements, for example, are being made. But, you know, part of, I think, the journey of trying to get the right messaging out to people and making sure that people are educated and that they really know what's truth versus what is not, I was really disappointed, honestly, in some of the claims that were made about the candidates of the Republican Party, specifically here in Connecticut. And the ones I can address and that I have addressed here on the air, for example, were Senator Tony Huang and Senator Ryan Fazio. I mean, complete lies made about them, aligning them with the national party when they're not. They're both pro-choice Republicans, for example. But there were so many advertisements and campaigns against them instead of focusing on what the Democratic Party could have done in place of them if they were to be unseated. And I didn't know, how do you push past that? How do you bring unity when you look at, like you said, a very difficult campaigning season that happened just even here in Connecticut and to some degree getting falsehoods out there? I'm not saying it didn't happen for the Democratic Party, but I just know those were concrete examples of where total lies were made about Republican senators here.
Well, I'll also say I've been doing this for about 40 years, and every 2 years I see flyers with big pictures of Co-op City next to your home on 1 acre in Darien. So the ads go in both directions.
Agreed.
That's the nature of politics. It's a rough sport, and hopefully a little less rough in Connecticut, but I hear your concerns on both sides of the aisle. That said, the election's over. Now we get together. I left a message for Tony. I called Ryan Fazio. I said, now we got to get together and see how we can work for Connecticut.
And you didn't get a vibe from either of them that they would hold. I mean, they both were reelected, so they've obviously been serving the state Senate. But you didn't get a vibe that kind of animosity is going to be brought into Hartford come the legislative session. Because as you just said, Governor, you're right. I mean, we've got a lot of uphill battles to face here in Connecticut, and we're going to need compromise. It has to happen.
No, what you do is when the race is over, you get together, you shake hands, you move forward. And frankly, I certainly hope that's the point of view of the Trump administration as well. None of this retribution stuff. Let's get together and see if we can find some common ground. There'll be plenty of opportunities for us to disagree. Let's start where we can agree.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in Governor Lamont, as I've told my listeners before, you've been a great example of this. I can remember in past legislative sessions where it got down to the wire, and I remember distinctively, but please don't quote me on which year it was. I remember when we were trying to pass cannabis, the state was trying to pass cannabis, and whatever came to your desk, you had said, if this doesn't, work out this, or if we don't address this, I'm vetoing the whole thing. I'll never forget it. And I remember you did go against your party. I mean, I'm not calling that out, but I'm saying that, again, this idea of, look, we can't just be a majority making decisions. We have to work together. And if we could see that at the state level, maybe we do also see, hopefully, I mean, Connecticut has been a leader in many other instances in recent years. And if we can find more of that common ground, you know, that certainly sets a better precedent, not just for our state, but hopefully for the country.
I think that cannabis rollout has worked pretty well. Thank God we're getting that illegal stuff, often laced with fentanyl, a little less likely on the streets because you have a regulated marketplace. But you're right, Melissa. They said if you want to get a cannabis license, those convicted of a cannabis crime are going to be at the front of the line. I said that doesn't make any sense to me at all. Let's have an open and fair process where we have a diversity of people who do this, and let's also put some of the resources in some of those communities hardest hit by the war on drugs.
So what do you think, Governor Lamont, are some other big ticket items? As you mentioned before, the ARPA funding, it's gone. At the end of this year, it's gone. We are definitely going to see a lot of deficits with education in general. But what would you say are also some big ticket items? I'd imagine housing, not to put words in your mouth, but I'm just guessing. If I were making educated guesses, these are the things that are popping up in my head.
I think I'd ask, since this is a long session, every other year we have a long session and a short one. This is an opportunity for legislature to dig in on some of these issues. We'll have plenty of time in February, March, and April to say, I need more money for the current services budget. That's what you always hear. But when we get together, let's not just talk about a current services. Let's how we can do things better, maybe a little more efficiently, how we can deliver services better. And that's everything from energy, where we need more sources of energy, and we ought to be able to reduce demand with efficiency. Let's how we work together on that. When it comes to education, we put $3 billion of federal money to work over the last few years. Before we say more money, let's say what worked and what didn't work.
What about the fiscal guardrails, Governor Lamont? I know that's something that keeps popping up as well.
It's also called an honestly balanced budget, and we didn't have an honestly balanced budget in this state for a generation plus, and we kept going from deficit to deficit. We've had six balanced budgets in a row, and to the bigger point, that means we've been allowed to invest more in higher education and K through 12 and daycare and housing than ever before in the history of the state. Not as much as some of the advocates want us to do, but consistent increases every year, as long as it's making a difference. I don't want to waste a dime.
Governor Ned Lamont, I want to thank you for coming on, especially during what has been a very busy and emotional week for many people. I thank you for taking the time to come on Melissa in the Morning, and look forward to having you on, certainly when the session starts in 2025.
Get together then. See you in Vermont sometime. Thanks, Melissa.
I know, right? I'm still really mad at you for not telling me that. I can't believe it's taken you two terms to tell me that you worked in Vermont. I can't believe that. And as a broadcaster,
I did Vermont Public Radio, and I covered for a newspaper, Rutland. See you soon, Melissa. Thanks.
Oh, my gosh. You worked in Rutt City. That's unbelievable. Governor Lamont, I tell you, still learning things about him so many years later. Right here on WICC.